Chapter 10. A Better Womp Rat Trap. Like many former separatist bastions, Mercana was a dying world. The lingering atmospheric effects of years of orbital bombardment and beam weapon assaults had raised the temperature of the world's seas and killed off coastal coral reefs that had once drawn tourists from throughout the Tyon cluster. What had been wave-washed black beaches were now stretches of fathomless quicksand, and what had been sheltered coves were stagnant shallows, rife with gelatinous sea creatures that had risen to the evolutionary four when the fish had died. Battered by relentless squalls of acid rain, the once graceful spiraling structures of Mercana City were pitted and cracked, and had turned the color of disease-ridden bone. Even when the rains ceased, menacing clouds hung over the bleached landscape, blotting out light and leaving the air smelling like rancid cheese. Descending through the atmosphere was like dropping into a simmering cauldron of witch's brew. Below was what remained of the seaside hexagonal spaceport and the quartet of 10-kilometer-long bridges that had linked it to the city. The Corporate Alliance landing field was slagged and tipped on the massive piers that had supported it, and the bridges had collapsed into the frothing waters. Arriving starships were now directed to the city's original spaceport, at the base of the hills. "Governor Tarkin, we have a visual on the landing zone," the captain said, as the ship pierced a final low-lying layer of dirty cloud, revealing the ravaged city spread out beneath them from sea to surrounding hills, like some terrain exported from a nightmare. "Spaceport Control says that it's up to us to find a place to set down, as their guidance systems are no longer in service and the terminal has been shut down. Immigration and Customs have relocated to the inner city." Tarkin shook his head in disgust. "I suspect no one makes use of them. What do our scanners tell us of the atmosphere?"
"Atmosphere is a mess, but breathable," the comm officer said, her eyes fixed on the sensor board. "Background radiation is at tolerable levels."
Swiveling to Tarkin, she added,
"Sir, you might want to consider wearing a transpirator."
Tarkin watched smoke pour into the sky from fires that might have been burning for 6 years. He considered the specialist's advice for a moment, gradually warming to the idea of being the only one among the mission personnel to be bareheaded, thus appearing more the commanding officer. "Looking for an adequate site, Governor," the captain said. Tarkin leaned toward the viewport to assess the landing field. It was impossible to tell the bomb craters from the circular repulsor lift pits that had once functioned as service areas for the Separatists' spherical core ships. The edges of the field were lined with ruined hemispherical docking bays and massive rectangular hangars, their roofs blown open or caved in. The facade of the sprawling terminal building had avalanched onto the field, and the interior had been gutted by fire. Ships of various size and function were parked at random, though most of them looked as if they hadn't seen space in a long while. 25 degrees east," Tarkin said finally. "We'll have just enough room." Vader entered the command cabin as repulsors were lowering the corvette toward the cracked permacrete.
"A world I never expected to see again," Tarkin said.
"Nor I, Governor,"
Vader said.
"So let us be quick about it."
Tarkin scanned the immediate area as Carrion Spike began to settle on her landing gear and the instruments were shut down. Only a handful of starships occupied their corner of the uneven field, including a decrepit 40-year-old judicial cruiser and a sleek and obviously rapid black frigate bristling with weapons, its broad bow designed to suggest slanting eyes and bloody fangs thrusting from a cruel mouth.
"Charming," Tarkin said, "and very much in keeping with the surroundings."
Wedging a brimmed command cap into the pocket of his tunic, he joined Vader and 8 of the stormtroopers as they were filing from the ship. Barely through the airlock, he could already taste acid on his tongue. They had just reached the foot of the boarding ramp when a teetering low-altitude assault transport soared into view, its wing-mounted repulsor lift turbines straining as it dropped from the sky to hover alongside the Carrion Spike.
Two Imperial stormtroopers in scratched and dented armor leapt from the open side hatch, while well-armed door gunners kept watch over the field.
"Welcome to Mercana, sirs,"
their squad leader said, offering a lazy salute. Tarkin heard stifled laughter from someone inside the gunship. Adorning the vehicle's vein-sliding hatch was the faded insignia of the 12th Army. His posture reflecting obvious displeasure, Vader appraised the noisy gunship.
"Are you certain that this relic is capable of carrying a squad leader? Or might we end up carrying it?"
The stormtrooper glanced over his shoulder at the gunship.
"Sorry to report that we've no choice, Lord Vader. The rest are in even worse shape."
"Why is that?" Tarkin stepped forward to ask.
"Sabotage, sir. We're not well liked by the locals."
"No one asked them to like you, squad leader,"
Vader snapped. With a swirl of his cloak, he climbed aboard the gunship, followed by his personal stormtroopers. Tarkin paused to comlink Carrion Spike's captain. "We're leaving 4 stormtroopers to guard the ship. Keep the comlink open and contact me at the first sign of trouble."
"Acknowledged, Governor,"
the comm officer said. Vader extended a hand to Tarkin and pulled him up onto the deteriorated deck plates of the gunship's deployment platform.
"Go!"
the Dark Lord shouted to the cockpit crew. The gunship lifted shakily off the landing field and began to wheel toward the heart of Mokana City. Placing himself behind one of the door gunners, Tarkin grabbed hold of an overhead strap and peered out the open hatchway. He wasn't surprised to see that most of the city's charred, devastated buildings had yet to be demolished. Facing sanctions, the local government had not been able to grow the economy, and the substantially reduced population had been forced to rely on black marketeers for goods and resources. Rusting remnants of the war, carbon-scored hailfire.